Everybody knows why hummingbirds hum? It's because they don't know the words. Well, sometimes I feel like a hummingbird up there. Isn't God good? Stand up. Y'all sit down too fast. If you can't stand, then put your hands up. There you go. There's more than one way to baptize a heathen. All right. We're going to talk about something very timely. Very, very timely. Again, you cannot ignore what's going on in our country. Can't ignore it. We can sit back and preach jelly beans and Wonder Bread all you want, but you know what? When we step outside that door, something very powerful happens. We get a chance to let Jesus Christ shine through us in all of this mess. Amen? He is the King in all this mess. And not only are we having mess with the world, with the pandemic, we're having mess with the riots, we're having mess with all kinds of, but I'm going to tell you one of the key things that's going on, and if you're not careful, it'll happen to you. How many say, please don't let this happen to me, Lord. Don't let me turn out like this in this pandemic, in this, all of this stuff, because we're having the perfect storm. And that is, get your Bibles out. I baptized somebody last week. That's where it's at. It's at the baptistry. All right. You love the Lord, say amen. All right, get your Bible out. And we're going to talk about, please don't leave when you see the topic. Here it goes. Anger. Anybody seen anger lately? Anybody experienced anger towards you lately? Has anybody experienced anger in your own self? When I see all the stuff going on, I honestly get angry. And then there's somebody, then this very well-meaning Christian person will come up and go, you know God don't want you to be angry. I'm going to give them some Hebrew to that. Okay? It's okay to be angry. All right? That's what we're going to do right now. It's not the problem of being angry. It's the problem of channeling it when you are angry. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at somebody and tell them it's okay to be angry. All right, but it's how you use it. Ready? Here it is. Now, somebody's going to say I'm meddling right now, and that's okay, because if I don't meddle sometimes, then I'm not doing my job. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Matter of fact, why don't we all read it together? That'll be cool. Ready? And go. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let's do that one again. That was. Did that feel good? Yeah, some of y'all look like, yeah, so give me a pair of pliers so I can pull my teeth while we're sitting here with no anesthesia. Ready? Let's do it again. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this. So, just in case I don't hit a place you're thinking about today, it's okay. Give me a chance. I got to build this, okay? Because if I don't build it, somebody may not come back next week to hear the rest of it. Okay? I want to keep you hungry for this, all right? So let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne, Father. I thank you, God, that all things are in your hands, that you're in total 100% control. There's never been a time that you were not in control. There's never been a time that you took your eyes off of this situation. Lord, you knew ahead of time all this was going to take place. And that's why you raised up your body, not to run and hide, but your body to rise up and be counted to rise and shine. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And church said, look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, some wild things have been going on. How many's got a chance to even work from home lately? Amen? You should be working at home anyway, but I mean, you got a chance to work from home. Amen. I happened to ride by and I saw a burglar kicking in his own door. And I said, what are you doing, dude? He said, I'm working from home. Okay, you'll get it. If you did get it, you're just probably still not going to laugh. That's okay. I thought it was funny the first time I heard it, not so much this time. I mean, let me tell you a story. I've used this story many, many times since over the years, but again, this just fit so perfect about what's going on now. There was this guy, his name was Brandon. Oh, was it Brandon? Yeah, I think it was Brandon. Mr. Brandon. Okay. He was the top dog in a very large company. Was it Cherry Point in a very large company? Okay. Every morning, he met with some of his people for breakfast, and on this particular morning, he lost track of time. He looked at his watch, and he realized that he was going to be late for work. So he left the restaurant, jumped in his car. He barely had the engine started when he threw it in reverse to back out. He burned rubber leaving the parking lot. He got on the freeway. Highway 17 is a freeway. Okay. He got on and put the gas to the fiberglass. As he sped down the highway, he looked in his rearview mirror, and his heart skipped a beat when he saw a flashing light. So he pulled over and rolled down his window and said, the police officer said, where are you going in such a hurry? I had a man the other day stop me and said, a policeman stopped me and said, son, I said, what is this? I've been waiting for you here all day. I said, old officer, I got here as fast as I could. Okay, where are you going in such a hurry? He said, I'm needed at work. He said abruptly, I'm a very important man. Well, you're not above the law. I didn't say I was, but shouldn't you be chasing some real criminals? Can't you just leave me alone? I'll leave you alone in a few minutes, sir. Let me see your driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance. So Brandon handed him the requested information. There he sat and stewed as the minutes passed by. He got more and more angry. The officer came back, handed him a ticket along with the rest of his documents. He grabbed him out of the officer's hands, rolled up the window, and took off down the road. He finally arrived at Cherry Point. He was really, really, really late now. When he got to work, the first person he saw was one of the sales managers. He said, good morning, Brandon. The sales manager said with a smile, he said, there's nothing good about it. He barked at, barked out, I want to see you in my office now. The sales manager followed him to his office, and Brandon threw his coat on the couch, and he yelled at the sales manager, you fell short of your goal last week for the second week in a row. I want you to know that you're going to get, if you don't get back on track, you know what's going to happen. And I want to know what you're going to do about it. So, The sales manager said, we just talked about this yesterday. We have four big deals, and any of them can put us over the top, and I'm sure that we'll get at least one of them. He said, I believe it when I see it. So Brandon blurted that out, and while he was looking at some other papers on his desk, he said, you're dismissed, and he slammed the door. The bewildered sales manager walked back to his office. When he got there, the first person he saw was his assistant. He screamed at her. He just screamed at her. What are you doing, woman? So she screamed at someone who was screaming at someone who had just screamed at someone else. And so it went for the rest of the day, one after another after another. Eventually, the receptionist got yelled at. When she got home, the first person she saw was her 12-year-old boy. She yelled at him and sent him to his room. On the way to his room, he saw the family cat walk in front of him, so he kicked the cat. Here's the question. Wouldn't it have been much better for everyone involved if Brandon had just gone directly to the receptionist's house and kicked the cat himself? Leave out all this anger. Leave out all these hurt feelings and all these people that are really being hurt. So now we're going to talk about as far as kicking the cat. That's you know what? I meant to put some red hair, but that's the 12-year-old. That's not Brandon. That's the 12-year-old kicking the cat. Okay, so we're going to talk about anger for a little bit. So please don't get angry with me. All right, so here we go. Ready? We're going to start today. We'll finish it next week, I suppose. If we don't get angry, don't get anxious, we'll be okay. Everybody knows anger's got a nature about it, okay? That there is a nature about anger. See, this is definitely contrary to some people's theology. But anger is a God-given, powerful emotion. Did you know that? God gave you the emotion of anger. It is a response to an injustice, a pain, or a threat. A person makes the conscious choice to take action immediately to stop the threatening behavior of another outside force. Okay? God gave you anger. This is healthy. When it's expressed in the right way, it's very powerful. It moves, it works, it breathes, it causes you to get up off your seat and do something. Look at somebody and say, it's okay to be angry. Tell somebody. If they look at you funny, say, well, the preacher just said it was. Okay, so here we go. Let's just talk about it. You know, Moses, he got angry when he come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he sees the people worshiping a calf they had built and said they had brought him out of Egypt. He gets angry and breaks the tablets. David, he got angry all the time, especially when he found out he was the man. Nathan's talking to him about the ewe lamb and all this, and it was after Uriah's, the thing with Uriah. And David got angry and said, who is this man? I'll kill him. David, look in the mirror, buddy. That reminds me, I did have an uncle one time that was so mean. Every morning when he shaved, he had to hold a gun to his head to keep him cutting his own throat. That's mean, okay? All right, he had an anger problem. All right, God got angry. He told Moses, I regret they even made these people. Look at them. They don't pay attention to what they're doing. They don't know what's going on. They want to serve other gods. I can't get them to get their act together. Moses, just let me kill them and I'll start over with you. And Moses says, hold on. Hold on. You're an awesome God. You've got mercy and grace. Let's try not to kill too many at one time, okay? And then Jesus himself got angry. He looked over Jerusalem and he said, I want it so bad just to come and coddle you in my arms and take care of you, but you won't listen. You won't pay attention. You want to do it your way. Okay? So anger is an emotion. It's a healthy emotion. You find somebody, I mean this, you literally listen to me very carefully. You find somebody that never, I didn't talk about how they express it. That's a different story. You find me somebody that never, ever gets angry. Didn't say lose temper. Never gets angry. As a matter of fact, here's one of my sayings. It's okay to show teeth, just don't show tail. Y'all get that in a minute. Okay. You show me somebody that never gets angry, and I'll show you somebody that's on some pretty tough medicine. Okay? Because God gave us this to keep us moving and to keep us in order, to keep us going in the right direction, to help us to maintain, to take care of things around us. Okay? So here we go. Ready? Let's go. Let's dig a little deeper. There's four sources of anger. Okay? Now it even goes very much deeper than what I'm getting ready to say. Because remember, this is all surface stuff today. We'll get deeper next week. So we're looking at surface stuff, all right? There are, yeah, that's me in school too. I remember one day we were sort of reading, and everybody was real quiet in class, and they were reading. I was in Miss Potter's fifth period, and I was reading. They're all reading. I come in with a milk carton, and I drank all my milk, and I remember as they were playing Jim Croce real slow and easy on the record player. We used to have record players. Some of y'all don't know what a record player is, but there's now they've come out with new record players. All right, but they got a different kind of thing. And we're listening to Jim Croce, and everybody's reading, and I come in, and I took my milk carton, and I said, wouldn't it be cool? I was even talking to myself, okay? I know y'all. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody would just stomp this milk carton? Hey, there's nobody to do it, so I'll do it. In the Pamlico County Grammar School upstairs, that thing sounded like a 20 M80s going off. Bam! And of course, Miss Potter, I was appalled. She said, David, right to start with. Without looking up. She said, David! I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what'd you do? I said, well, I was just trying to get by. There weren't any room in the trash can. I was just trying to make that thing small so I could get in the trash can. She said, well, come up here. And I had to write like 100 times, I will not ever come back into Miss Potter's classroom at fifth period and take out a milk carton and put it on the floor and fold it up and kick it and make a real loud noise and disturb everybody in class. And I had to write that 100 times. I know. Y'all thought I was doing anything wrong too. Okay. Here it is. Hurt. Has your heart ever been wounded? I'm just going to stop because, like I said, this is all surface stuff. We can dig deeper and deeper and deeper. I could go on this for months, but I just right here. Has your heart ever been wounded? So when your heart gets wounded, one of the responses to it is anger. Matter of fact, when somebody finds up, you know, a lot of times, because of anger, we're detached from somebody. We get detached from them. And so when the detachment happens, here's how it starts. It starts with disbelief, hurt. Then as we have time to think about it, it becomes anger. And as it becomes anger, it actually will put a callus over the relationship and push it to the side. So there's a hurt. Your heart, not only has it been hurt, then the anger takes place. As the anger takes place, you push that person aside, and then it gets calloused over. So four sources of anger. Number one, hurt. Number two, injustice. Your rights. Your right has been violated. Your right, however you want to put it, it's been violated. We hear a lot about this in the last few months. We were hearing about this before George Floyd, before any of this ever happened. We were hearing this stuff, but the stuff was about had to do with masks and social distancing and how we should be wearing masks. And somebody said, well, then my rights are being violated if I've got to wear a mask everywhere I go. So see, it started, all this stuff started way before George Floyd, that horrendous situation there. But then it got a little further. A little further than everybody's already on edge with everything. And then here comes George Floyd. And so then now people are really thinking rights are being violated. And so then the next one, fear. Your future is threatened. Right now there's a lot of angry people in this world. Part of them are angry because their heart has been wounded. Others are angry because their rights have been threatened. Others are angry because now their future is threatened. All this stuff going on, you know, all this looting and cities, blocks of cities devastated. And in the middle of all this, now we got these hurricanes and twisters coming in. It's just like I said, it's a perfect storm. I'm pretty sure today, right now, you can find yourself already in one of the first, second, or third things I just showed you, all three of them. Don't raise your hand, but it's there. And when these things happen, you get angry. If anger is not channeled correctly, then it shuts your brain down. Listen carefully. That's why it's so important how you channel your anger. My anger starts in the frontal lobe. That's where all your cognitive reasoning's at. But once it gets out of control, your frontal lobe, your reasoning shuts down. And it shoots back to the back of your brain, which goes on autopilot. Now you start that you say later on, I cannot believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I told them that. I can't believe I walked out. I can't believe I blew up. I can't believe this. But the whole thing is, if anger is not channeled properly, after you've been hurt, after an injustice, after a fear, if you're not careful, once it boils, that's why it says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Wrath and anger is two different things. Anger is healthy. Wrath is not. Wrath is when it gets out of control. It leaves the front where you're thinking. It goes to the back. And it can go on, believe it or not. Once you've had, listen carefully, if you've had a big enough problem happen to you right this moment, if you're not careful, it can take up to 48 hours for the front to start thinking again. 48 hours. Wow. So that's why we got to be careful. We got to watch this now. So watch, look. Then, this the whole world just frustrated. No matter how you're trying to fix it, you can't fix it. You got this side trying to fix it, this side trying to fix it. You got the stores trying to fix it. You got, you know, what's going on? People are moving, they're leaving places. There's all kinds of things going on because of all the stuff that's happening. And it's all being fueled by anger. And remember, when anger gets out of control, you stop thinking. And you just start doing. That's how people get shot. That's how buildings get burnt down. That's how things get out of control, because you're no longer thinking. It's all back here. You're in a survival mode. So now, here we are. Here's anger. Here's this powerful emotion that God gives us. Now, again, can we take it deeper? Y'all ready to go some deeper here? Isn't this good stuff? Matter of fact, this will help you. I promise this will help you. This will help you to help others. You know, a lot of times you can't even tell a person to calm down. Calm down. Just calm down. I don't want to calm down. When you hear that, just remember, it's done left the building. Elvis has left the building. They're not thinking here anymore. It's all back here in autopilot. So you better know how to handle it, or somebody, you might be the one that gets hurt. So now watch this. There you are. Anybody ever felt that way? I actually took a selfie. There you go. Yeah. All right. So here we go. Here we go. Ready? So we have anger's nature, but now we're going to talk about anger's nurture. Okay? Anger is fed by feelings of disappointment, rejection, and embarrassment. So again, we can take it on a personal level. On a personal level, how many times on a personal level have you felt disappointment? Lately. Yeah. How many times on a personal level have you felt rejection? How many times on a personal level have you felt embarrassment? That feeds the anger, and that zaps your emotional strength and takes it to the back again. And crazy things happen. You say crazy things. You do crazy things. So, I just heard about a teenager, I think it was in Chicago. I'm not sure. I can't even keep up with it anymore. The news is such a big thing now. You can't even keep up where things going on. But a teenager, I think he was 15, 16 years old, was just trying to confront a demonstrator, and he was stabbed multiple times, gas was thrown on him, and then he was lit on fire. This is not in Iran. This is not in Afghanistan. This is right here in the United States. It happened just a few days ago. The boy died in the hospital. What was that driven by? Anger. I guarantee you, I ask people all the time and pay attention. I ask them when I'm doing the 12 steps, I'll ask them like this. I just sit there and say, okay, let me ask you a question. How many in here are in here for habitual stuff, and how many's in here because you lost control one time? The majority of the people in there will say, I'm in here because I lost control one time. Wow. Can you imagine being sent to jail and you're in there for months because you lost control one time? Remember, and they'll even say, I don't know why I did it. And I'll say, well, I can tell you, but you don't want to hear it. And they go, what? And I'll say, well, Elvis left the building. What are you talking about? I said, well, let me put it this way. The wheels on the bus don't go round and round. You stop thinking and you start doing stupid stuff. Okay. Anger pits you against whatever sparked the emotion. It's the opposite, the actual opposite of the feeling of love. Love draws you to a person. Anger sets you against a person. Think about it. Have you ever been sitting there with somebody and you're having a good time with them, you're enjoying them, all the things, and they say something that makes you angry, and all of a sudden you don't want to be around them anymore? You could have been with them for days, weeks, months, and everything's cool. They get angry, now you don't want to be around them. You see, that's because anger is actually, the emotion of anger can be the opposite of the feeling of love. One draws, one pushes. Okay? So sometimes it's just better to let the person that's on fire, that's expressing their emotion in a bad way of anger, don't try to fix it. Because as you try to fix it, guess what? Aren't you just going to take a bucket of gas and throw it on the fire? When somebody's getting out of control, the best thing you can do, if you can, is just back off. I've seen children lose control. My boys lost control. I just backed off. And when it got way out of control, I jumped in. I kept saying, you need to calm it down, boy. You know, my daddy had a good saying for this. Don't let your mouth write a check that your hind part can't cash. So here you go. We got anger going on. Let's just talk a little bit. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Even though, you know, it's making you think about your own life and your own situations. Okay? So now, anger, y'all say this, anger always has consequences. Anger is never neutral. Ever. Ever. Y'all say it again. Anger is never neutral. Never. So ready? Here we go. I'm gonna go through it, and then I'm almost through. Some of y'all are going, would you please hurry up? I got one toe left and the toenail's hanging right now. Don't worry. Sometimes you feel like the boot and sometimes you feel like the cat. It don't matter. All right, here we go. Good anger, healthy anger, brings a challenge to your spirit. That's what it's there for. God put healthy anger there to challenge you. Okay? When I look down and I walk across to wherever I'm walking and I see something going on that's out of the way and it makes me angry. I see a child, you know, being abused. Or I was sitting down with Anna Lane and Emmy yesterday and they were talking about what happens. We're doing this thing of life, sort of like life hacks. I'm not even sure what you call it. It was asking questions, you know. And it said, which one's in more danger? And it showed a dog in a car while the person went in the store, and a dog was in there with the windows rolled up. And then they showed something else over here. And I told the girl, it says the dog with the window rolled up. And they said, why is that, Papa? I said, because that dog can suffocate from heat. He could die from heat in that place. And she said, well, what would you do? And I said, well, literally, as far as I know, the law protects you. If I come across a car in a parking lot and there's a baby or a dog in there and the windows are rolled up tight and the doors are locked, if I bust out that window, well, it don't matter. I don't care whether they get mad or not. I'm busting out the window if I can't find them. You know, because that baby could die in minutes. That dog could die in minutes. Okay? Who would even do that? They said, well, who would do that, Papa? I said, well, sometimes people aren't thinking. They just get in the store and think, you know what? I'm just going to run in and run right back out. Well, again, when I go to Walmart or somewhere and there's a dog or a baby in a car beside me and the windows are rolled up, I immediately feel the challenge until I see that the car's running and there's an air conditioner. Okay. Then the dog's okay. So it's a challenge. Challenge. It brings confrontation, which is healthy. Then it starts getting kind of unhealthy when now the challenge becomes very, very great and your confrontation is not working. We're going to talk about the building of anger. So now I've confronted, and it's confronted back. I'm trying to bring a solution, but the solutions are not being accepted. And now the person I'm talking with or the situation I'm talking with is starting to get unhealthy. And you and the other party, there starts being an explosion because now it's compounded. Once the explosion takes place, once we get compounded in this thing, then there's a collapse. Again, this is unhealthy. There's a collapse. The collapse is you implode. And when you implode, here's what happens. I just talked about it a minute ago. The porch lights go off. You quit thinking. Now you're in the back. Now you're defending yourself. Now you're just trying to take care of business. And now the mind knows every mammal on earth. This happens to every mammal. Somebody say every mammal. God put this in every mammal so they can be protected. They can protect themselves. This shuts down. You go into protect mode. Now, you've imploded, and honestly, you're losing control. Have we seen that lately? Every time you turn on the news, we see it. So watch this. Once you implode, it becomes contagious. I don't have to even comment. I can look at every situation we're going through and see a situation where this starts happening. From simple as being asked to wear a face mask. A girl was asked to wear a face mask and she got mad and she turned her cart over and went through and just started throwing off stuff off the shelves as she went out the store. The sign said, wear a face mask when you come in here. So she gets mad, she implodes, and she just starts pulling stuff off the shelf and runs out. Stomps out. Or, what started out as peaceful now becomes very unpeaceful. So now, it rubs off. And then finally, it contaminates. Now you've got a nasty, unlivable environment. When this happens, nobody, y'all say nobody, nobody's safe. Nobody is safe. Tell me that this doesn't describe the day we're living in. So now, let's talk about anger's negatives here, okay? Ready? The Bible says, Psalm 37 and 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Anger and wrath are two different things. This is talking about something very, 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 very powerful, something that's going to hurt you, that's going to be very negative, it's going to just be very, very harmful to anybody that can be around you. So look, wrath is now when your temper is starting to take control because it's soothed. I mean, right now it's smoldering in your brain. It's going round and round and round. Matter of fact, the reason it says don't let the sun go down your wrath. Watch this. Have you ever gone to bed mad at somebody and woke up more angry at them? Have you ever gone to bed upset with your spouse and wake up in the morning and ready just to crown them? Why? Because when you're trying to sleep, while your mind is trying to process this, it's processing these negative emotions. While it's processing these negative emotions, now you got dreams coming in, you got all kinds of things, and all negative things are happening. When you wake up, you're ready to kill the person you went to bed with that night, and they hadn't done anything. It's because Satan used that as a doorway. It says, give no foot place to the devil. Give no place to the devil where he can get his foot in the door. And so you couldn't go to bed with a disagreement, but don't go to bed with wrath. Okay? So now, so here we go. Ready? This is probably some of the most awesome stuff. If we quit, don't take it personal. Now the preacher's in here trying to get me today. He's picked me out. But I promise you, I haven't picked anybody out. The only person I picked out of here, the only one, is the one that's holding this. I'm the only one. When I read through all this, I said, God, please, please, don't let me stomp my feet so bad I can't even walk when I get out. Okay? Psalm 37:8 another version. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Do not be agitated. It can only bring harm. Proverbs 29 and 22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. The Message version says, angry people stir up a lot of discord. The intemperance stir up trouble. Wow. Wow. If this don't show, and again, you don't have to go, don't just go to the looting and the riots. Go to anything. Go to the face mask. There's people want to tear your face off because you're wearing a face mask. Your rights, my rights are not going to be violated. Dude, I'm not violating your rights. When I wear a face mask, I'm just saying that I'm my brother's keeper. I'm trying not to get it on you. You know, that's it. And I'm just trying to render unto Caesar's what Caesar's. He said, wear a mask when you're out in public. That's what I'm doing. Do I like it? No. Do I forget it? Yes, I forget it from time to time. Do I get all burnt out, bent out of shape if somebody's not wearing a mask? No. I was walking in Walmart doing some shopping yesterday, and I heard a child look up at their daddy, and the whole family was there, like five or six of them. None of them had masks on. And I was getting some cereal. And I overheard it. I weren't listening in. I just overheard it. And the girl said, Daddy, why's everybody else got face masks on and we don't? He turned and said, to a kid that's not even going to understand, well, science has proven. And then I tuned in. Science has proven that standing 6 foot apart does a whole lot more than wearing a mask. And I said to myself, okay. And I walked past him, still my mask on. And just, yep, we kept on going. I don't know what all the answers are. I have no idea. None whatsoever. But getting angry is not going to solve a thing. Because when you get angry, watch this, and I'm going to expound on this. When you get angry, there's a negative of anger. I'm talking about losing control now. You lose confidence. Energy, faith, freedom, identity, perspective, sensitivity, and vision. Think about it. Let's just expound on this. Ready? Let's go for a minute. Let's take this for a ride. Then we're getting ready to close. Go for a ride. Here you go. First, loss of confidence. You get feeling insecure about your relationship with God and your ability to respond wisely to difficulties. I remember one time I was at Fountain, and I was known at Fountain for somebody to keep their cool. I'd always do my best to keep my cool. If I was not going to keep my cool, I tried to walk away. And I remember one day I'm sitting there, and all the engineers are around me, and Daniel called me. Daniel was working the service and warranty, and Daniel called me, and he said, "Supervisor," and I didn't even give anybody a chance to even talk. I heard this, and Daddy popped out. He said, "Daddy, I'm not having a good day today." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, the supervisor just told me that I was a no good loser, and I'd never amount to anything." Without saying, "Daniel, are you sure you heard it?" Or going in there and try to figure it all out. I went, "What?" He said, "Daddy, he told me I was a no good loser. I never amounted to anything." I said, "I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go down there. I'm gonna show him what a full grown version of you can do." And one of the engineers in the back said, "Wow, I've never heard that out of your voice ever. I've been working for years. I never heard that out of you. What's going on?" And I said, and I told them what had happened. They said, you know the supervisor. Do you think he'd say it that way? And I said, watch this. I had to go. And I said, no, he wouldn't. And so I went down there and I checked everything out, and it wasn't quite. I decided when I went down there to show teeth, not tail, and I'm glad I did. Okay, so it's a confidence. Energy. You start lacking strength for your service to God and others. Anger will wear you out. Faith. Failing to believe that God is working in your life. Freedom. Becoming a prisoner of your emotions and unable to serve God freely. Somebody that's full of anger, I'm telling you, they're not thinking. They just can't think. Because again, every time, remember, once your temper gets flown in, whoop, the switch pops on in the back, and there goes, I'm going to do as many stupid things as I can do before this wakes back up. Okay, freedom, prisoner, identity, becoming like the person, or becoming like the person toward whom you were bitter rather than becoming like Christ. Whoa! Woo! Somebody go, ouch! Or amen. That one got my toe really bad. Right, that one right there. If I take off my shoe, you know why. People say, well, it's a 9-4-9, tooth for a tooth. I said, that was Old Testament. I said, let me tell you something about etymology. And let me tell you something about Bible translations and the, you know, and all the linguistics and stuff in the Bible. You take it all back and you put it together and you find out if something in the Old Testament has not been addressed in the New Testament, the Old Testament stands. But whatever's in the Old Testament, if it is superseded by what when it's addressed in the New Testament, then that's when it changes. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. And so, Jesus didn't say eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, don't you be that way. Paul said, don't return evil for evil. I got people to take care of it. You just return good and watch what'll happen. So now, if we're not careful when you get angry, as much as you despise the person you're angry at, because of whatever they did, when you become angry, you will find yourself becoming just like them. Why? Again, whoop, snap. This is eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. This is do not return evil for evil. Powerful stuff. And then, perspective. You allow your emotions to distort your thinking. And you hear things like, well, they always do this. They never do that. Really? You know, I was talking to my dad this morning on the way up here, and he just got another set of hearing aids. He went to get his hearing aids fixed, and they couldn't fix them. And so he got more hearing aids, and they were like $4,000. And so we're in there, and I walk in the door, and I see Dad, and I know he didn't have it. And here he is having to pay this, and y'all don't say anything to him. I know. And anybody out there in Facebook land, they don't tell my dad that I just said this, but. My dad didn't even say a word. He just sat there and figured out how to do it. He said, well, how many months do we go? Well, he's going back and forth, and he took the highest amount, and it's going to cost him just as much interest as it was for the things. And I walked over to the lady behind the counter, and I said, can I talk to you for a minute? She said, yes. I said, how can we get that down? Manageable. And she said, well, somebody's got to put some money down. I said, well, I got three of us. I know can put some money down on it, but one of us is going to do it today and the other two will do it later. What do you think? She says, okay. And so I gave him some money. And it, honestly, it was a sacrifice, but here's what I said. Well, look, it was a sacrifice. Then my other brothers kicked in and Daddy got it down to where he could buy. It was bite sized, no interest. Really turned out good. Daddy this morning, first thing he said was, Daddy said, thank you so much. I know it was a sacrifice. Thank you. And I said, Daddy, out of all the things you've done for me all my life, if I gave you my paycheck every week till you died, but don't expect that. I put that in there, that disclaimer. I said, if I gave you my paycheck every week until you died, I could never repay you for what you've done for me. I said, so let's don't talk about this anymore. And he teared up and he said, yes, sir. So again, what happens is when you get angry, you forget what people have done for you. That's what I've started doing now. When people get angry with people, get angry with situations, I stop now and start thinking, well, what had they done for me in the past? Because if I'm not careful, you get distorted, and all you can think about is they're just mean as a snake, and they're just, I don't want to be around them. And then you start to think, wait a minute. Think about all the times. All the times. All the times. That person you're angry with stepped up to the plate for you. Was there for you when nobody else was there for you. What did for you when they couldn't even do for themselves. If you can do that, guess what? You can bring down some of that distortion and some of that anger and that deadly perception. Then sensitivity. You fail to hear from the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Why? Again, y'all can do this all week long. The front shut down. That's where God's talking to me. Back here is where we're saying, I ain't heard a thing. Well, God weren't talking to me. Yes, he was, but guess what? You weren't listening. And then vision. You start losing a sense of God's purpose in your life. Now I'm getting ready to close. Somebody say amen. You ready? I can see that. That's a red road sign right there. Benny, I can see that. The biggest thing I can see is that cat. Woo! That cat's getting ready to get it. Watch this. Here's some thoughts on anger. We're getting ready to close. BJ, get ready to play something, man. Figure something out here. Just don't play any angry style of music. Ready? Okay, ready? I was going in the pit detention center one night, and I was wearing a red shirt. My wife said, don't you wear that red shirt in there. I said, why not? She said, because I just read two things red does. Red in a restaurant. You notice in restaurants, there's a lot of red. Ever notice that? You know why? Because red makes you hungry. But red also makes you angry. So she said, you can go in that pit detention and make somebody angry, and they're going to eat you. Here, you have an arm. I'll take a leg. Here. Ready? Just thought. Your temper's like a fire. It gets very destructive when it gets out of control. Here's my motto. A shut mouth gathers no foot. Yeah, that was a good one. Yes, man. Yeah. He who throws dirt loses ground. Sling that mud. Swallowing anger words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. Have you ever eaten your words? I know I have. Here's another one of mine that I try to live by. Anger is a stone thrown at a wasp's nest. I was coming out of the house the other day and on the back porch, and there were some chairs, and I hadn't walked by, and I was working outside, and I walked down, and I was just getting ready to sit in that chair to do some an Emmaus meeting by Zoom. And I normally get on the back porch with that chair where I can be in the, you know, be outside and be cool and not disturb anybody in the house. But this time I felt the need just to stay in the house. So I stayed in the house. So then I get back up and do some work, and I had some tools in my hand and my phone. I didn't want to break anything out there in the yard, so I threw everything in the chair. And on the way outside, I noticed something pricked at my leg, calf of my leg. So I said, well, when I got outside, I looked and said, well, what in the world just got? What happened? I got a hole here. What is it? So then I got into my work and I come back in. Now I'm sweating. I got more stuff in my hands. So I go back to that chair and I throw some more stuff in that chair. And all of a sudden, I'm getting eat up by fire. And I look down and some yellow jackets. It looked like Tom Cruise on Top Gun with all the MIGs going around him. And I said, where'd that come from? And I swatted them out of the way and I went in and grabbed the stuff. And I said, that chair that I was going to sit in. Praise God I didn't sit in it. I turned it over and there was a wasp nest or a yellow jacket nest. And they wanted to be left alone. Well, I did. I said, rest in peace, my yellow belly things. Rest in peace. Can you imagine? I had no idea what I was doing when I threw stuff there and I got stung. Just remember, when you let destructive words come out of your mouth, out of anger, not constructive words to build, but destructive words out of anger that tears apart. It's like taking that stone and throwing it at a wall stitch. It's like kicking a beehive. And then finally, people who fly into rage always makes a bad landing. Wow. Y'all stand. Everybody stand up. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29:11. Please come back next week. We're going to talk about this even deeper, but even if you don't get a chance to get part two, I sure hope part one give you some vision into anger. Stepping on tape doesn't help. Look, stepping on tape. Ah. It's okay. Remember, for yourself, when you're angry at somebody, especially somebody that you have a track record with, sit back and think about that track record. Is this their normal behavior? If it is one thing. If it's not their normal behavior or it's a sporadic behavior they have, that's another. Think about the good that they've done for you and the good they've done together. That'll help you keep it calm a little bit. If you find yourself losing control, back away. Do not engage. If you engage while you're angry, I can promise you this is what's going to happen, and this might not sound so spiritual, but it's powerful. You get angry, lose your temper, and you start spewing out at somebody, you will get a disease. Remember, click, pop. That causes constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. Remember, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, my biggest anger right now is I'm angry at myself because I'm not where I should be with God. It causes anger. It causes frustration. It causes hurt and it causes pain. Well, I can promise you that can be settled right now. If there's a block between you and God, if there's something in there that's causing unnecessary pain and anger and it's shut you off from God, here's how good it is. All you got to do is say, Father, forgive me for this attitude. Forgive me for whatever it is that's blocking me from you. And use me again, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. Maybe you're here right now and you've had some bad experiences with anger lately. Personally, you let anger get the best of you. And because it got the best of you, you said things and did things that just weren't cool. Sometimes one of the best remedies is this. Number one, you got to forgive yourself. You got to ask God for forgiveness. Forgive yourself. And if you can, if it's possible, go to the person and ask them to forgive you. You don't ever go to a person and instigate forgiveness to them. I forgive you, because if you go to somebody and say, look, I just want to talk to you. I forgive you for such and such. And y'all never talked about it, you could cause a big fight. They might not even know they did it. But you can always go to somebody and say, I apologize. Without anything, I apologize. I apologize. So here we go. With all the things that are happening right now, it is so easy to let anger get the best of us. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you found yourself either losing it or being tempted to lose control lately with all the stuff that's going on, close by and far away? Have you found yourself a little more edgy than you've ever been, and you want God to help you with it? While nobody's looking around, every eye's closed, would you just lift up that hand quickly and say, I found myself on edge. Yes, bless them, Lord, bless them. I find myself on edge. I need you, God, to help me with this. I don't like being on edge. I don't like saying things that I really don't mean. I don't like having to always apologize because I've always got that hoof and mouth disease. Let's all just pray together. Let's pray this together. We're going to do all this. And we're going to pray it all together. Ready? Lord, I need you to remove all the blocks between you and me. I need you to help me, to develop me, to be all I can be. And Father, this day and time has a tendency to put everybody on alert and on edge. Help me to keep my head and to keep my hope, and to know that you got this. In the name of Jesus, it's all yours. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Don't forget, Tuesday night we're having an awesome time. Awesome, awesome time on stress management. Oh, Benny, were you going to pray for Barbara?